You snooze, you lose. You ever heard that before? I saw that painted on the back of a drag race motorcycle. You snooze, you lose. During college, I worked for a company that made fiberglass parts for drag race motorcycles. And I ended up going to drag races and got to know a little bit about drag racing. And when they talk about snoozing, what they're talking about is thousands of a second. So it's not like you take a nap for 20 minutes. It's a couple of thousands of a second is called snoozing. And to be successful in drag racing, you need quick reaction times, you need power, you need traction, you need good direction and good brakes. And problems happen when one of those things isn't working well. What's interesting is that you need those same basic things in carrying out our mission as we are living sent, as we are sent into the world around us. We need those same things. We need quick reaction times when we have an opportunity. We need spiritual power that we can make a difference. We need traction. We need to connect with people to share the good news. We need direction, how to direct our efforts, and we need good breaks. Not the kind that stop things, but opportunities. You ever had a big break? The favorable or opportune situation. Now that's a lot to ask for. How would we get something like that? We would get that from God. We would get that from God in prayer. And so, well, how do we pray? The Apostle Paul in Colossians 4 shows us exactly how to pray. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be committed to prayer. Day in and day out, be committed to prayer. Being thankful, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which we are in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, we're supposed to pray that God will do what? Pray that God will do what? What do we need God to do? First of all, he says that God may open a door for our message. So we pray that God will open a door for me to share the good news. What would happen if each one of us every day prayed that God would open up a door for us to share the good news? Where did the Apostle Paul go? Here's where he went. Those are all the missionary journeys of Paul. See where he went? All over the place. How in the world could he go to all of those places? God opened doors. God opened doors for Paul that he could go all those places. Some of them, he had a dream in the middle of the night, come over here. And that's where he went, and he found an open door. Who did Paul speak to? He spoke to influential business people at Philippi. He spoke to officials in numerous cities. He spoke to the thought leaders at the mall on Mars Hill in Athens. He spoke to Roman officials like Felix, Festus, King Agrippa, lots of Roman soldiers. He was, for a period of time, he was always chained to a Roman soldier. And those Roman soldiers got an earful. And some of them got a heartful. And then eventually, to Caesar himself, the ruler of the known world at that time. How in the world could the Apostle Paul speak to all those people? God opened doors. God opened doors. So, I don't know if you have people in your family or extended family that are not followers of Jesus. That's the case in my family. In fact, there's a large extended family that doesn't know Jesus. And a large part of my extended family that don't know Jesus. In fact, one of the individuals was rather notorious for his misbehavior. So much so, for a number of years, the FBI was looking for him. And when he passed away, I was asked to do his funeral. And so I had the opportunity to share the good news with that whole part of the family. Why did I get that opportunity? God opened that door. And when we pray and say, God, would you open doors for us? He will do that. He'll open doors for you. But we need more than just open doors. What else do we need? Paul goes on. That we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery? Mystery is like, ooh, it's a spooky thing. Now, mystery, mysterios, actually means a secret. God had this secret for years, and the secret was the gospel is for everybody, Jew and Greek. The gospel, the good news, the secret, was that God was going to come, not live in a tabernacle, but live in us. And so, that's the mystery that Paul's talking about. He said, and what we're praying for is we're asking God to give me boldness in speaking up. Give me boldness in speaking up. Every time Paul asked somebody to pray for him, he always asked for boldness, and I think that was weird. Because when I look at what the Apostle Paul did and who he spoke in front of, I thought, the dude's already bold, right? He's already bold. Why would Paul ask for boldness? You know why? Because he wasn't really bold. The only reason Paul was bold is because God answered that prayer. Paul was bold as an answer to prayer, not because he was just naturally bold. God answered his prayer. We see this in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Notice what he said. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Greeks alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador so that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Paul wanted to be bold. Let me ask you something. What's your greatest need? Not the kind that you would say out loud right now. You know, that one need that you have that you don't really want to share with anybody, right? What's that need? Ask people to pray for that area of your life. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Paul said, listen, for me to do everything God has put on my heart, I need to be bold, but I'm not bold, so pray that I be bold. And God answered that prayer. And if you do that, whatever need you have, and you say, God, who can I share this with? And you go to those people and say, pray for me that I can be fill in the blank for you. And God will meet that need. And what was a weakness, what was a negative thing in your life will now become one of your greatest strengths. And people will look at you and say, what, that's a weakness for you? You say, oh yeah, it was. Until God answered that prayer in my life. And the cool thing about that is that who gets all the credit for that? You? That's right, God does. God gets all the credit for that because it was Him that answered that. And we think about, you know, God opens the door. Is it okay if I'm honest? Would that be all right? I'm not real excited. And I know you're going to say, but pastor, you're a pastor. And you're going to put your hands on your hips and maybe shake your finger at me. But it is hard for me as a person to pray for open doors for sharing the good news. You know why? Because if God opens the door, then I have to do this thing called speaking up. Any of you like me that struggle with that? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Right? Because one word that describes me is timid. I don't really want to jump in and say, well, Jesus is the answer. And I have done that. And I try to do that every time I'm prompted. But I just tell you, in my flesh, that's a very hard thing for me to do. I don't know if you're like me. But that's why I love this passage out of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear and timidity. You ever felt timid? I have. Ever felt timidity? Being timid? God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The worst conversation you will ever have is the one you don't have. That'll be the worst one. So, pray, God, open the door. And then, God, when you open the door, help me to be bold. The hardest word is the first word. You get the first word out, and then the rest will come. And Paul goes on. He says, help me proclaim it clearly. And so we say, God, help me to speak clearly. I'm going to speak clearly. I pray that all the time. You know me, right? How many times so far have I stumbled over my words? And so, I got to pray. God, help me to be clear when I speak the good news. And the tendency is for us to use religious jargon. To use words that we understand what we mean, but the average person doesn't know what we mean, and we use words that aren't clear to everybody else. Well, brother, what you need is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, you know what that means, but somebody who doesn't understand this, like, I don't know, that's kind of gross. I don't want to get blood on these clothes. And so we know, they call this the curse of knowledge. You know what you're trying to say. Have you ever done this? You know what you're trying to say, but what the other person is hearing is something completely different. And it's hard for us to say something to someone who doesn't know what we know. It's called the curse of knowledge. You know it so well, it's hard for you to communicate it to someone who doesn't know what you know. Because there's stuff we leave out, stuff we don't mention, because everybody knows that. And so we ask for God to help us to be clear. You're a witness. You tell your story. You point them to Jesus, and then you point them to His Word. Your story, Jesus, and God's Word. I remember one time I had an opportunity
with our neighbors in Jackson, and I blew it. I started using some, like the way I try to describe the good news is immediately when the words came out of my mouth, it was like, oh, this isn't working. Saw the look on their face, and it's like, oh, man. I wish I could go back and go, can I do that over again? Pray that when you speak, it'll be clear. It'll be clear. So pray that God opens a door. Pray that we'll be bold. Pray that we'll be clear. And then Paul goes on, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And so we pray, God, help me maximize each opportunity. Ease up. And how do we do that? We do that with the way that we live. St. Augustine said, preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary. So preach the gospel with the way you live your life. And preach the gospel in the way you interact with people. See, the world expects the followers of Jesus to be hypocrites. That's what they expect. Watch a movie. See how Christians are portrayed in movies or TV shows. They're always shown as hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Hypocrite, at the time of Jesus, they were the actors on the stage. And so, you know, hypocrites are people that act one way, but were really a completely different person. And Jesus, we're not supposed to be like that. This is not supposed to be an act. To be who we are. So live not as a hypocrite. Live, be wise in the way you act. Don't let that be accurate. Let your walk and your talk be consistent. Recently, I heard the story of a young man. He was marching in a gay pride parade. And he saw his parents were gay, and so he saw his parents get spit on. And he asked his parents, who was that spit on you? And they said, oh, that's Christians. And that was his picture of what he thought a Christian was. Christians are people that go to gay pride parades and spit on the people in the parade. And so when he was in school, he decided to go to a Bible study to be a pain in the butt to everybody in the Bible study. And that's why he went to a Bible study. And guess what happened? The guys in the Bible study loved on him. And they treated him with love. And he was confused by their behavior because he didn't fit the image of what he thought a Christian was. And he eventually became a follower of Jesus, as did his parents. Because they interacted with somebody that really was who they said they were. Paul goes on, let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so we pray and we ask God, help me have a beneficial conversation. Excuse me. Help me have a beneficial conversation. He talks about several things in there. Grace. That means you accept the person. It means you accept the person. You remember when Jesus told the crowds, now you need to get your acts together. You need to get your act together before you come to me. You remember when Jesus said that? Me neither, because he never did. He never said that. But we tend to make people think that's what they're doing. I've heard so many people say, well, one of these days, I'm going to get my life together. I'm going to get my things straightened out, and then I'm going to go to church. And so I go, oh, you've got that completely backwards and upside down. If your life is messed up, you go to Jesus because he's the only one that can fix it. And then he's going to give you this power to change anything in your life that needs to be changed. Jesus never said that. Jesus dealt with people with grace. With grace. He accepted them. He accepted them as they were. And then he said, salt. Paul mentions salt. Let it be seasoned with salt. I don't know, how many of you like steak? You like a good steak? So imagine you have your steak. And it's, I'm not talking steak. I'm talking steak. Right? And it's cooked just the way you like it. But there's nothing, no seasoning on it at all. No rub, no salt. And they serve it to you, and they serve it to you with the steak fries, you know, kind of thick, and they're really crispy and crunchy on the outside and hot and steamy on the inside. But there's no salt. And it's like, excuse me, waitress, can I have some salt? Oh, we don't have any salt. What? No salt? Well, that's a nice big steak. Don't you want to eat it? Well, I need some salt. Right? Salt seasons something, right? Salt makes you want more. You had some, ooh, that's good. How many of you are going to have steak for lunch now? Oh, that's good. I like that. We're supposed to be like that. That's supposed to be our impact on the world. As we have an interaction with people at work, people at the coffee shop, people at the grocery store, at the barber shop, as we interact with people, it's like the first bite of a steak that's seasoned properly. It's like, oh, that's so good. I want more of that. That's what our interactions with people are supposed to be like. And at that time, they didn't have Frigidaire refrigerators. So what did they do with meat? They packed it in salt and it preserved it. We're supposed to have a preserving effect on our whole culture. That's what we're supposed to do. And Jesus was so amazing. And for years, I was thinking, like, how is Jesus attractive to the lost people? Like the lowest of the low of that culture, the sinners and tax collectors, the prostitutes, were attracted to Jesus. I mean, nothing against Billy Graham. He was a great man, but you don't see people being attracted to him like they were to Jesus. All the leaders in the church today, you don't see sinners being attracted to them. What was it about Jesus that made him magnetic to people that were far from him? And I wondered that for years. I was like, what is it? What is it? And then one year, I read the book of John. That was my Bible reading for the year. I read it and read it and read it and read it. And somewhere in the middle of that year, it was like God cleared his throat when I read this, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. The order is absolutely essential. Grace and truth. You want to have a beneficial conversation with people? Grace and truth. You accept the person. You look at all the interactions Jesus had. with the woman at the well, with the rich young ruler, with the woman caught in the act of adultery, with the woman with the act of, with the issue of bleeding, the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. What does he give them? Grace, 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 truth. He accepted them as they were. And then he told them the truth. To the woman caught in the act of adultery, he didn't stone her, although, according to the law, he could have. He gave her grace. In fact, he got all the other guys that were going to stone her to leave. And then he said to her, go and sin no more. He told her the truth. And if we want to have an impact on people, we need to treat them the very same way. Grace, 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 grace. Until you're sick and tired of giving grace. Give them grace, and then speak the truth. Because we tend towards one of those. Some of us are grace people. Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. And you just accept them and everything, and you never share the truth. And others of us are truth people, right? Like as soon as you meet somebody, boom, right between the eyes. Jesus did both of those perfectly well. He spoke the truth after he had grace. Would you go to a doctor who didn't really tell you the truth? I didn't know the doctor. I know of a situation where a young lady went to an eye doctor. And she was having pain in her eye. And the doctor saw a tumor behind her eye. But he didn't say anything because he's not an oncologist. She died. I wouldn't go to that doctor. He didn't tell the truth. You wouldn't go to a doctor that didn't tell the truth. Would you go to a doctor that was just an obnoxious jerk? No. No. Grace and truth. Together, that's what we gravitate towards. And that's what we're supposed to be. Grace and truth. So that's how Paul said we should pray. Open doors, boldness, speak clearly. Maximize each opportunity and have a grace and truth in a beneficial conversation. What would it look like if we all did that? What would it look like? It would have an impact on this entire community. If we had conversations like that, if we, each one of us, prayed like that on a daily basis, God would open the doors and lives would be changed so much so that we would have an impact on this whole community. So, Craig has some cards. This is the final message of the Live Sent series. And so on one side of the card is a review of all of the messages. And on the back side is this passage out of Colossians and this prayer. What do you pray for? And I made it this size so you can stick it in your pocket. You can stick it in your Bible and you can say every morning, God, open a door today for the good news. God, give me boldness in speaking up today. God, help me speak clearly. God, help me maximize each opportunity. God, help me to have a beneficial conversation. If we pray like this on a regular basis, God is going to begin to change this community. Using us. Who was Paul? He was just an ordinary guy that God used to change the world. So I encourage you to do that. And then see the fruit that God gives us as a result of that. God is going to change the world through us. So let's pray, then let's go change the world. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you for your word that guides us, that directs us, that helps us to make a difference in this world, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Lord, open doors for us. Open doors for us that we can share the good news. Lord, give us boldness. Help us to say the first word and help us to be bold in sharing the good news of what you've done for everyone. God, help us to speak clearly. Help us to use words that people will understand to communicate the wonderful good news that you've given us. Lord, when you give us an opportunity, help us to make the most of it. Help us to live in such a way that people see you in us. And then, Father, help us to have grace and truth, just like Jesus. Help us to look just like him, to respond like he did. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.